Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Well, for tonight's sermon, I want to talk very directly about living in a time of crisis and fear, as we all are now. Every one of us is living in this time we have never lived in before. There is no precedent in our lifetimes for this, and we are facing a crisis we have never faced. At the start of March, which was just 3 weeks ago, it seems like about 3 years in crisis time, but on March 1st, do any of you remember how many COVID-19 cases there were in the entire United States? 70. That's it. Well, according to the latest number I saw before our service started, it's now like 22,000, and that's in 3 weeks. There's a not-for-profit group called MITRE, a consulting group, and according to their estimates and calculations, the number of COVID cases in the United States is doubling more quickly here than in any country in the world, including Italy, including Iran. There was one medical doctor I saw quoted, interestingly, his last name was Brilliant, and he's personally hoping that the virus will follow the path of SARS and MERS and kind of mutate and peter out, and that would be my prayer and hope as well, of course. But he wrote, it may cause global disruption on a scale we have not seen from any epidemic in more than 100 years. And I know each of you is now dealing with this almost complete shutdown of social life. Restaurants are closed. Businesses are closed. Borders are closed. And, of course, starting when our service started, the state of Illinois is essentially closed. At least we're in a shelter-in-place order, as are 75 million Americans. And I know some of you this week, I've been thinking about you, and Karen and I have been talking and praying about this, that I know suddenly you were thrust into homeschooling, all while you are supposed to be doing your own work. And so I saw...
And dads are home and moms are home.
Yeah, dads are home, moms are home. Everybody's life is just kind of in this chaotic place right now. I saw this tweet from Shonda Rhimes on Monday. She said, been homeschooling a six-year-old and an eight-year-old for 1 hour and 11 minutes. Teachers deserve to make $1 billion a year or a week. So... Now, normally, what makes this especially difficult this time for all of us is that when something challenging comes, like 9/11 did, for those of you who recall that, we band together. And with COVID, we have to stay apart. And so in all this isolation and disruption, I think every one of us is facing two great fears. The first fear, of course, is that the virus will kill us or a loved one. And this is not paranoia. This is realistic. You've seen the predictions, as I have. In the current best-case scenario I've seen, the virus kills 200,000 Americans. In the worst-case scenario, it's 11 times that. It's 2.2 million. And, of course, many more worldwide. And all of this depends, of course, on how many respirators are become available, how overwhelmed the hospital and healthcare systems get, and on whether people really do social distance or not. The second fear, of course, is that if the virus doesn't get me, the economy will. That the impact of this global shutdown on business could cause me to lose my job, my income, my business that I've built up over time, or whatever it may be. And that is not paranoia either. It's interesting that a week ago, I saw an estimate that in the month of March, America would lose 1 million jobs. Then a week later, I saw, oh no, just in this week alone, that's March 15th, that's ending today, March 21st, it'll be 2 million jobs just in this week. Not 1 million in the whole month, 2 million in this week. And then I just saw that updated late today to 2.5 million. They're saying maybe 10 million jobs total by the end of April could be lost. That doesn't even include the workers who will have jobs, but whose pay will be cut, hours will be reduced, or so on, so on. So I've been praying for you all, and I'm asking God, Lord, would you give me a word that would strengthen all of us in this time of crisis and fear? And so tonight, I want us all to try to enter this moment when the followers of Jesus were scared that they were going to die at any moment. And I want us to notice as we go into this story what they said to Jesus, and then what does Jesus say to them? And I hope that this kind of encounter with Jesus, where we all enter this story together tonight, will bring you encouragement and hope for this unusual time we're living in. If you have your bulletin, you can turn there, or if you have a Bible also. And we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And I'll begin in verse 35. As evening came, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. The oldest freshwater distance race in sailing is our own Chicago to Mackinac race. I don't know if any of you have participated in that, but it's an amazing race. Every year, hundreds of boats join it. It's each July. And 3,000 sailors race from here, the Chicago Yacht Club, up to the island of Mackinac in Michigan. And in 2011, I remember that summer, Karen and I visited Mackinac Island. It was for her a second time, but for me the first. And we happened to visit, not knowing that we were doing so, on the day when all the racers were coming in, landing at Mackinac and getting off. And they had all the tents set up for these huge parties and all the champagne flutes set out for the big celebrations. And everybody was walking around in their regatta gear, all their matching team uniforms. But everyone was downcast, and no one was in a party mood. There was no champagne being poured. And Karen and I stopped a team and said, "Excuse me, can you tell me, like, what's going on?" And we see all these racers, but we don't understand. And they said, "Well, didn't you hear about the boat that was lost?" And one of the boats that had entered the race, one called Wingnuts, hit 75-mile-an-hour winds in Lake Michigan. It flipped, capsized, and then because it had this unique hull designed for high-speed racing, it did what they call turtled and was unable to be uprighted. And even though the sailors were very experienced and had all this amazing equipment, they drowned. It was the first time in the history of the race. Well, I imagine that these disciples in this boat with Jesus are scared that this is going to happen to them. They are going to capsize and they are going to drown. They are so vulnerable. They're in what we would consider a tiny wooden boat. They're packed together there. They're in this boat. It has no radar. It has no radio. There's no Coast Guard. The waves are crashing into the boat. They're soaking them to the skin. The wind is howling down off the mountain, so they're having to yell at each other just to try to be heard above the noise of the storm. And the boat's rocking this way and this way and then a third way, and they're getting sick to their stomachs. And then they look back, and here's what they see. Verse 38. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Now, he's sleeping. Their leader is taking a nap. And that makes them even more upset. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care?" That's the question the disciples asked Jesus in their fear. Don't you care that we're going to drown? And that may be our question right now too. Jesus, don't you care that I could lose my job? Don't you care that my loved one is now running a fever? Don't you care that I just found out that 2 days ago I was around somebody who'd had corona and I didn't find that out until now? Don't you care? How can you possibly be sleeping? And so every one of us is now in a storm, feeling that kind of threat and that kind of fear. And so I wonder if you could say something to Jesus in this moment in your own life, what would you say to him? What would you want to say? Think about that for a moment. Well, here's what happens next. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then Jesus asked them his own question. "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The question that we ask Jesus when we're afraid is, "Don't you care? Don't you care if we're going to drown?" And Jesus has a question for us also. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now imagine Jesus is with you right now, as he is, and he's asking you a question now, or he wants to say something to you. Why don't you think about that, make yourself quiet before him in prayer, and see if a thought comes to mind or if there's something that you sense maybe God speaking to you tonight. It seems to me that quite often in life, we think the problem is God doesn't care. He's asleep back there, and he's going to let us drown. And meanwhile, God may be saying to us, "Why are you so afraid? Do you not know I'm here? Do you not know what I can do?" I don't hear this as condemning in the words of Jesus. I really don't. I hear them as challenging. I actually hear it as an invitation and a challenge. The Bible says 70 times, "Don't be afraid." And that's a command and an invitation. It's a command, "Don't be afraid," but it's an invitation because we don't have to be afraid. Fear is natural. It's natural to me. It's natural to every human. And we are in a time of significant and serious threat. But it doesn't have to dominate our lives. And the reason is this amazing truth that whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. There is no place that you or I will go. There's no place this country will go. There's no place the global economy will go where we cannot know and will not know the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, how do we enter this reality? How do we try to live more in this invitation to not let fear dominate? And I just want to offer a few pastoral thoughts about that. And as I started to list these, I realized they fall very neatly under Church of the Savior's mission of loving God, loving others, loving life. So I've got three sections, and see if any of this may be helpful to you. I hope so. First, under the category of loving God, my first encouragement to you as your pastor would be, when you start the day, don't start the day with panickedheadlines.com. Don't reach for your phone immediately. I know that's my temptation. I just want to get back in that and follow everything and stay up with it. And the reason I do that is because I have this sense if I know in the latest 5 seconds what's happening, then I'm really more in control. The fact is, I'm not in control. And none of us is in control. And even our so-called experts are really not so much in control as the wiser ones are even willing to say. And so instead, what if we start our days with God? What if we start our days with a psalm or a piece of music that calms us? Or even if it's a very short space, just a short space to reorient ourselves. And you know what? It's true, God. You are our refuge and our strength. You are our very present help in trouble. then you can go get on panickedheadlines.com and stay up with what's going on there. You know, God never practices social distancing from us. He is not like the jewel bread aisle that will be empty when you go to him. When you go to him in the morning, he will give you your daily bread. And I just encourage you to start your day there. Then second, I would say join us for worship as you're able. We'll continue to live stream these services and all of our Holy Week services. For those of you who have reserved sacrament, we'll administer from the reserved sacrament. For those of you who don't, we'll do what's called practicing spiritual communion, and I'll give some instruction on that. This week also, Pastor Sandy Richter hopes to be rolling out online morning prayer and evening prayer. We thought that those additional times of prayer during the week might be helpful for you at this time. So those are some of my pastoral encouragements in terms of loving God. Now let's go to the second section, loving others. As Paul wrote, we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has already taught you to love one another. And I would say that is so true of you, Church of the Savior. God himself has already taught you how to love one another. And guess what? Our church doesn't have shut-ins anymore. We all are shut-ins. So, yes, our staff and pastors have been working to call through the entire directory this week, and we've pretty much there. If we missed you, please know it was only because we either didn't get your number or maybe it wasn't the most recent number. Feel free to reach out and call us. But what I would encourage now as we move forward is everybody call everybody. Call your friends, call your neighbors, call the people that you're thinking about at Savior, and just send them a text, a phone call, an emoji. I was so blessed this week when one of our vestry members, Kristen Page, sent Karen and me a short video of her and Rick's daughter, Ren, playing the cello hymn, This Is My Father's World. And it was just such a comforting piece of worship music with those beautiful strains of the cello. And I could feel my anxiety actually calming as we watched that video. It was such a blessing. If you are a young person here, children or youth, I really encourage you to reach out and FaceTime Pastor Mary. She would love to be in touch with you. She's such a great person to talk to about how you're doing, how e-school is going. If there's anything you're afraid about, we'd love to hear about that and pray for you. So that's for you. Also, if you Savior folks need help, would you reach out? Of course, we have our benevolence fund under the very capable leadership of Deacon Sandy Euler, and you can email her if that would be of help to you in this time. And then, of course, I also have a list of people who have from Savior who have volunteered to run errands or get groceries for those of you who are maybe in high-risk categories or unable to go out. We will do the best we can to get you the care you need. So please reach out to Deacon Sandy or me about any of those things. And finally, as we love others, let's love those in our own neighborhood who are going to need more help than ever. Our Good Friday gift, as you know, is targeted to the food ministry and outreach of People's Resource Center, where under-resourced people can go for not only canned goods, but fresh food like milk and eggs. And our donation is going to be targeted to those high-protein, fresh foods like eggs. And so if you would like to be a part of that Good Friday gift, simply make out your check to Church of the Savior, and on the memo line, write Good Friday Gift. All right, last. Well, let's move to the section, Loving Life. I've been thinking this week of that wonderful phrase that St. Marilyn Stewart said to so many of us before she went on to glory, be kind to yourself. We're going to have times of fear. We're going to have times of conflict. We're going to have times of misunderstanding. We're all under stress, unusual stress. We're not going to go through this perfectly. We're just going to do the best we can as frail and flawed human beings. Be kind to yourself. I was blessed by a note that I got from Karen Liebold this week, who said this: we all need grace upon ourselves and time to find a new way. I've been telling parents, when parents take their kids out of school to homeschool them, she writes, it takes a full year for everyone to adjust to that. A full year. So we must have grace upon each other. Second, let's keep our sense of humor. Amy Howard sent me a fun memo that she sent to the occupants of her house, and it was a memo to the MAM Enterprise e-learning and remote office suite occupants, meaning her husband and daughter. from Amy Howard, VP of Operations. In this season of Lent, she writes, MAM Enterprise e-learning and remote office suites is giving you the opportunity to give back to our neighbors. A donation jar has been collected to collect funds for People's Resource Center to buy milk and eggs. Funds collected will be added to the Church of the Savior Lenten gift. Today, if you would like to wear St. Patrick's Day themed t-shirts or crazy hats, please add a donation to the jar. So, why not have a great workplace? If your workplace has to be at home, make it fun. I'll just quickly tell one joke because I can't resist, even though it has very little to do with the sermon. On Friday,
surprise!
I know, Karen is shocked that I would throw that in. On Friday, we went to a White Fence Farm, an old-fashioned country fried chicken restaurant down in Romeoville, and the place was nearly deserted when usually it's packed. And so I said to the maitre d' or the hostess as we were leaving, I said, wow, is it really as, you know, as thinly populated tonight as it seems? And she said, yeah, it's terrible. I said, well, have you thought about advertising that if people come for dinner, you'll give them a roll of toilet paper? She said, yeah, that's good. Dinner with a roll.
You were dying to get that in there.
I know. Now I got that in there. I feel so much better. So, friends, I just want to give you a word as your pastor who's praying for you. And Karen and I, you're on our hearts. And we just want you to know there is so much that is uncertain. Even the so-called experts are uncertain. So let's fix our eyes tonight on the one thing that is certain. And that is this. No matter how bad this storm gets, Jesus is with us in the boat. Amen.
Amen. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.